Penguin Random House Audio presents Chuck Yeager, World War II Fighter Pilot by Don Keith. Read for you by Josh Robert Thompson. Prologue.
All I know is I worked my tail off learning to fly. If there is such a thing as the right stuff in piloting, then it is experience. The secret to my success was that somehow I always managed to live to fly another day.
Charles E. Chuck Yeager. For a stretch of more than 60 years, Charles Elwood Yeager was one of the more recognized figures on the planet. He was a regular guest on television, including appearances on What's My Line, This Is Your Life, The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, and The David Letterman Show, and even had brief camera time in sitcoms, such as I Dream of Jeannie. He was featured in scores of commercials and print ads for General Motors and AC Delco. He made cameo appearances in such movies as The Right Stuff, in which he also did most of the flying, and had a bit part as the bartender at a watering hole frequented by Air Force test pilots. And in Smokey and the Bandit 2. His real-world experiences as a daring and colorful test pilot were featured in both the non-fiction work The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe and the movie of the same name based on the book. Yeager was portrayed in the film by actor Sam Shepard, who received an Academy Award nomination as Best Supporting Actor for his interpretation. Shepard was the son of a U.S. Army officer and World War II bomber pilot, but also had a well-publicized fear of flying. Yeager himself had almost 36 film credits. Yeager twice drove the pace car to start the Indianapolis 500 motor race. He served as consultant for 3 flight simulator video games, each of which bore his name in their titles. One became Electronic Arts' best-selling video game of 1987. On a more serious note, President Ronald Reagan appointed Yeager to the Rogers Commission, tasked with investigating the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster in January 1986. President Gerald Ford presented him with the Congressional Silver Medal, generally considered to be the non-combat equivalent to the Medal of Honor. He was inducted into the National Aviation Hall of Fame, the International Air and Space Hall of Fame, the California Hall of Fame, and the Aerospace Walk of Honor. In his home state of West Virginia, the airport at Charleston was dubbed Yeager Airport, and the Interstate 77 bridge over the Kanawha River was also named in his honor. Several stretches of highway around the state also bear his name. And though he never attended college, Marshall University dubbed its top academic scholarship program the Society of Yeager Scholars. He was also a best-selling author. His life story, Yeager, an Autobiography, was a long-term success, as was a follow-up book, Press On, Further Adventures in the Good Life. Chuck Yeager was a likable, charismatic, and colorful figure, a self-described individualist. His tendency to be plain-spoken and incisive rubbed some in the military the wrong way, but only helped endear him to the general public. The event that truly put him into the limelight and earned him a place in the script for The Right Stuff came on October 14, 1947, above the high desert of central Southern California. On that day, Yeager accomplished something many thought impossible and everyone knew to be highly dangerous. He piloted a rocket-powered aircraft dropped from the belly of a B-29 bomber to a speed of more than 660 miles per hour, swifter than the speed of sound at that altitude, and faster than any human being had ever moved on purpose. The sound barrier had long terrified but fascinated engineers and pilots. Many scientists, without equivocation, predicted an aircraft approaching and then flying through that speed point would simply come apart, disintegrating in midair due to violent shockwaves buffeting the plane. But then, with Chuck Yeager at the controls of that bottle rocket of an airplane, a Bell X-1 that Yeager had named Glamorous Glennis after his wife, as he did many of the planes he flew in his lifetime, there was proof that such a catastrophe could be avoided after all if the aircraft was properly designed and flown. It was a bumpy ride, all right, but he had demonstrated once and for all that with the specific aeronautical design and a competent pilot who could make the appropriate adjustments at the right time, Mach 1 was no barrier at all. It was merely another tick on a Mach meter. For the first known time in history, people on the ground heard the thunder of a sonic boom from an aircraft going faster than sound travels, a sound that Yeager himself could not hear in the X-1's cockpit, because the shockwave was directed downward, toward the ground. The Air Force managed to keep the accomplishment a secret for more than half a year, but when the news broke, along with the details about the man who was in the cockpit that day, Chuck Yeager's celebrity was assured, right alongside his place in history. The world was looking for heroes. America was anxious for any accomplishment that showed scientific or military advances in response to other nations that were, just ahead of the Cold War, challenging U.S. dominance. The brave but nonchalant, self-effacing guy with the West Virginia drawl was almost immediately a national folk hero. The legend would only grow as people learned more about the background to the story. How Yeager was chosen for the job, even though he had no formal education beyond high school. All the other candidates were graduate engineers. How the civilian pilot who had done preliminary work with the X-1 had demanded more money, a huge bonus, for assuming the risk in attempting to jet through the sound barrier. However, Chuck Yeager, as an Air Force pilot, would necessarily do it on the cheap. And later, the public would hear the story of just how painful that brief sojourn over the desert was. How Chuck and Glennis had ridden their horses down to a local bar two nights before the X-1 flight. On the way back to the barn, Chuck was thrown from his horse, badly breaking two ribs. Yet he still managed to climb into the aircraft and, because of his injuries, use a makeshift broom handle lever to get the door closed and latched, and then pilot the craft through Mach 1 and into history. Then, later, just for good measure, he flew the X-1 at 2.5 times the speed of sound. Yeager continued his Air Force career in spectacular fashion after the record-breaking feat, holding command positions in both the Korean conflict and the Vietnam War, along with the Cold War. He flew more than 200 combat missions over Vietnam and other spots in Southeast Asia. He was also commandant of the U.S. Air Force Aerospace Research Pilot School, responsible for turning out astronauts for the Air Force and the nation's space program. However, with no college degree, he was never eligible to become an astronaut like the men whose training he oversaw. In October 1997, at the age of 74, Yeager was in the pilot seat of an F-15D Eagle jet aircraft, named Glamorous Glennis III, and flew the plane past Mach 1 to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the historic X-1 mission.
Then, 15 years later, at the age of 80...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?